Stu Does America.
Follow the show on YouTube, youtube.com/Stu Does America. Hit subscribe while you're there. Dan Andros is here to talk Israel and Bad Bunny, two completely related topics. The new illegal border crossing numbers are out. We'll see how President Trump is doing there. We're going to start by doing the real cost of Obamacare. Ah, gosh, Obamacare has been way too much of a part of my life. You know, there for the passage, you know, we started on Fox News right before it was really, you know, argued about and eventually passed. I was on the air during the Supreme Court ruling when that came out. I remember trying to explain that to everybody about how it was not a good ruling, even though a lot of places were recording it as a good ruling for conservatives at that moment. It was a weird time. And then, of course, the attempts at getting rid of it, the John McCain thumbs down. And then, you know, typical, as we predicted at the very beginning, Republicans now starting to jump on board and saying, oh, actually, it's great. Well, you know, this is what you expect out of a big program every single time. John Stewart was talking about this whole thing. And the reason why I bring up Obamacare is because of the shutdown. This is a very Obamacare related. This is like our 19th shutdown due to some aspect of Obamacare. This time, it's because the Democrats want to spend more money. John Stewart skewers Democrats for poor leadership amid Republican-led government shutdown. I mean, I don't know. Did he do that? Here's him skewering Democrats.
And while people in the country legally are not eligible for Medicaid or for Obamacare subsidies.
I got to address that.
Point taken. But the Democrats aren't lily-livered about this one. They've got their own rhetorical arguments about the popularity of extending these subsidies that I think you'll find compelling.
Democrats are adamant that we must protect the health care of the American people.
Good points.
I mean, if you're not watching that show, I don't know how you're missing it. That's a must-watch television, as you could tell right there. By the way, yes, there are parts of Obamacare that, you know, make it seem like illegals can't get any money because of it. This is all because if you have a big pile of money and you have to give it to your citizens in your state, and that's what you're going to do with it. And then you get a big chunk of money from Obamacare, from the federal government. You then can give that other money that you were going to give to your citizens to illegal immigrants. And that's how the money gets to illegal immigrants. Anybody who looks at this has known this. This is a very widely known argument, but I suppose we're not going to bother addressing that. More from John Stewart. Here he is talking about the shutdown and how it began.
Now, as you'll recall, the shutdown began because in order to pass a budget bill in the Senate, you need 60 votes. As the founders never mentioned. And so Democrats have come forth with a laundry list of demands to force the Republicans. I'm just kidding. They want like two things.
Democrats demanding that Republicans reverse cuts to Medicaid and extend expiring Obamacare subsidies to prevent insurance premiums from rising for some 20 million Americans.
Those bastards. It's like they don't even want people to die of generally preventable diseases.
There's John Stewart with another incredible point. By the way, the two things that they want, we are going to go into here in just a moment. But you're going to be surprised to hear those. That's not a fair way of presenting what they want. That's a shocking development, I know. Now, Republicans are now facing pressure to consider Democrats' health care demands as shutdown drags on. Susan Collins is shopping around a folding proposal. She wants to fold on this. Marjorie Taylor Greene wants to fold on this. So there's going to be, of course, some people on the right that are going to just kind of, you know, do the thing that Republicans usually do in these moments, which is give up and give in for whatever the Democrats want. That's, obviously a very common theme of these moments. Now, what's interesting about this is what they're actually trying to get here. And we've talked so much about the shutdown and the politics of the shutdown, who's responsible for it, how is it going to play out, all this other stuff. And we haven't really gone into what the Democrats are asking for. Why? Because we obviously know it's not real, right? Like the Democrats already folded on a shutdown already. They could have brought this stuff up then. They're asking for some stuff that hasn't even expired yet. But it is, and they just keep referring to it as healthcare. Now, the only real thing that Republicans have said about this healthcare proposal that the Democrats want is they want to give a bunch of illegal immigrants health care. And as I just explained, yes, that is part of it. It's possible that that can happen. It's probable. And it has happened. As we pointed out before, going back to Obamacare, 2009, I think it was the moment where Congressman Wilson yelled, "You lie," to Barack Obama. The topic of that moment, if you remember, during the State of the Union, was illegals getting health care. That was the topic of it. In 2016, Hillary Clinton ran for president with on her website as part of her campaign platform, giving illegal immigrants health care money from Obamacare. It was actually on her site to make sure that everyone gets it. We saw Maxine Waters say, "We want everyone to get health care." When asked, "Do you want illegals to get it?" "We want everyone to get it." This is quite obvious what they want, and this is one way of doing it. If you throw a bunch of money at these programs at the states, it frees up the states to get mostly blue states, gives up the blue states the freedom to be able to take the money that they already have and give that money to illegal immigrants. And they could say, "Oh, it's not this pile of money, it's from this pile of money," as if that makes one iota a difference. Doesn't matter. The point is, they shouldn't be getting this money if they're illegal. So the Washington Post decides to go after this. And you know what this is going to be like, right? The Washington Post is going to write an op-ed, not from just some liberal columnist or conservative columnist, but from the actual editorial board, the official position of the editorial section of the Washington Post. This is going to be fun, right? Well, kind of is. "The shutdown conversation no one wants" is the title of it. And that doesn't sound all that wonderful, but let me give you some excerpts from it, because it's kind of a shocking moment in, I don't know, American history, because they're saying things like this. "President Joe Biden and congressional Democrats used COVID-19 to justify chasing the mirage of European-style welfare state without raising the necessary taxes to pay for it. Now, prodded by the left, party leaders have shut down the government in a bid to permanently extend what was sold in 2021 as emergency subsidies to help people struggling during the pandemic to afford health insurance." What the hell did I just read? That's the Washington Post? That's shocking. They're admitting the truth? They've decided saying things that are true is an option? What? When did they start with that craziness? Again, first of all, presenting it as the Democrats shutting down the government, which of course is what's happening here. And look, you know, Republicans could just give in and reopen it, right? That's the debate. But it is the Democrats taking, in this particular case, the action to make sure that we don't just continue spending money at the, pathway to hell we were previously spending on, which is what the Republicans want. Again, there's no good guys here. Republicans are saying, "Hey, this unsustainable thing we have going on, we should continue it." That's the Republican position here. They're not saying, "Hey, we should cut stuff by 80% like they probably should." No, they're like, "We'll just continue doing all the crap that we're doing now that is devastating us and throwing us into debt and creating all sorts of long-term problems." And Democrats are saying, "Well, what if we make it worse?" Those are the two sides of this, just so you know. But again, talking about this accurately is kind of a shocking thing. They go on. "The U.S. national debt stands at $37.9 trillion, a figure that dwarfs the annual gross domestic product of every other country. It has grown dramatically since the pandemic. In the 2019 fiscal year, the federal government spent $5.47 trillion, but took in only $4.26 trillion. 5 years later, spending clocked in at $6.75 trillion as revenue failed to keep up with this dramatic expansion of government." And that's what we're in the middle of, right? We had a growing government, a government that was growing pretty quickly. And that's during Donald Trump's first term. Also, of course, during Obama and Bush. And it's been going on forever. But Donald Trump did not reverse that. He didn't run on that, to be fair. That was never a high priority of his. You know, there's been lip service at moments given to things like Doge. But in general, especially in 2016, it really wasn't his priority. He was talking about other things. He got into office and he lived up to what he promised during the campaign. He did not go after spending. He did not go after cutting things in the government generally. Now, cutting regulations, he did do a pretty good job at that. He's certainly done a good job on the border and many other things over the years. But just it's just not his focus. It's just not something he cares about. I mean, this is a guy that called himself the king of debt, right? This is just who he is. And that's been known since the beginning. I don't like that part of him, but that's the truth. Gushers of borrowed money flowed toward expanding food stamps, Medicaid eligibility, veterans benefits, and student debt forgiveness. Rising interest rates compound the costs. Ultimately, the United States will need to grow its way out of this debt, but fiscal irresponsibility makes that harder. And so you think about the expansions. It was already expanding during Trump. Gets into Biden, obviously gets much, much worse. He passes two massive bills, among other things, but the American Recovery Act, I think it was, and the Inflation Reduction Act. I might have the act or bill or whatever it was called messed up there, but those are the two main things that massively, massively expanded government and spending. And remember, it was after it was already passed. They were like, by the way, this is actually a green bill. There's lots of that stuff in there as well. But there wasn't just that. Yet Democrats have demanded that Republicans agree to extend COVID-era insurance subsidies without proposing any way to pay for it. Congressional Budget Office estimates this will cost $350 billion over the next decade. These temporary benefits were included in the American Rescue Plan of March 2021 and extended the next year into the misnamed Inflation Reduction Act until the end of 2025. Again, note the tone of this. Like, The misnamed Inflation Reduction Act, that's of course true. It is something that Biden admitted. But when do you get that analysis from the Washington Post? I'm shocked to hear them talking about this like this. Maybe the whole Jeff Bezos, we're going to actually focus on free markets thing was real? I don't know. I hope it is. They did just hire Dominic Pino, who's been on the show many times. Excited about that. That's a really good hire for them. Hopefully they're going down a good road. But again, this is what's key here and is not being covered all that much when it comes to these bills. And Republicans aren't talking about it. They're like, oh, illegal immigration. Illegal immigrants might get some of this money. And again, that's true. But like, I don't think the most important thing. The most important thing is this. This was the thing they're talking about, and they call it, you'll see this phrase all over the coverage on it. Enhanced Obamacare subsidies, enhanced ACA subsidies, the Affordable Care Act, enhanced. That's the word, enhanced. And of course, I mean, do you like enhanced things? I suppose. I mean, maybe you put in vitamins in your food that's enhanced with vitamins. Maybe you're Jeffy's selling some wonderful pills for male enhancement. I'm sure somewhere off on the corner of a street near you, you could always get those from Jeffy. Enhancement generally indicated as a good thing. They're enhanced subsidies. What does that mean in this particular instance? Well, if you're guessing they're larger, just like Jeffy's promise from his pills, yes, that's probably true. Enhancement in that case, much, much larger. But also important to note, they were supposed to be temporary. They were supposed to be, I keep coming up with too many jokes about Jeffy's pills. I apologize. If they last more than 4 hours, make sure you go to the hospital. But what I'm saying here is when you enhance something and it's temporary, it's supposed to go away. It's supposed to be something that comes and it goes. In this case, we all remember COVID. We all remember things we were told that were supposed to go away, right? It's 2 weeks to slow the spread. It's 6 weeks to slow the spread. Maybe Donald Trump was saying we'd be back in school by Easter, but generally speaking, these closures went on. You have to wear masks all the time. You're not allowed to be within 6 feet of other people. Indoor dining is closed. These were all things, and you can go back and you can think about how you felt about those. Some people will be like, yeah, I was scared in that moment. Some people will say, gosh, that was so stupid and we should have never done any of that stuff. I never did it. Whatever your position is on that, everyone understood that when the pandemic goes away, this stuff goes away, right? Now, of course, you can walk around town and you can see somebody in an N95 mask outdoors in 100 degree heat here in Texas. You can still see that. There are some people who will keep those things around for the end of time. Those people in the N95 masks walking around outside, those people are the Democrats in this debate. What they're asking for is a COVID, an enhanced Obamacare subsidy that was put into the American Rescue Plan in 2021 and then was going to expire. And then they extended it in the Inflation Reduction Act to go to 2025. These are COVID-specific subsidies that were supposed to help in the middle of a pandemic. And of course, now the Democrats are saying we want to get out of that. We got to get out of that, what we used to have, and get into this new thing that we're in now. This is the only thing. Forget that old thing. What is that old thing? That old thing is Obamacare. The catastrophic situation Democrats are warning about is their health care plan as passed. That's what it is. What we're talking about is returning to Obamacare as it existed when Obamacare was passed by Obama. That's what we're talking about. Now, there have been tweaks and changes here and there around the edges, but generally speaking, we're going back to the old days of the program the Democrats promised you last time was going to solve all these issues. Did it? No. Of course, the answer to that is no. The real problem, as the Washington Post points out, the real problem is that the Affordable Care Act was never actually affordable. I'm going to read that line again because I sound like myself in 2010. But actually what I'm doing is reading the Washington Post in 2025. The real problem is that the Affordable Care Act was never actually affordable. President Barack Obama's signature achievement allowed people to buy insurance on marketplaces with subsidies based on their income. The architects of the program assumed that risk pools would be bigger than they turned out to be. As a result, policies cost more than expected. Expected by whom? Not me. Not me. Not Glenn Beck. Not The Blaze. Not all of the analysis done by conservative think tanks that went over all of this stuff at the time. No, 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 we did not get an Affordable Care Act. We got Obamacare, which expanded the government's role in healthcare, increased your prices, and made your healthcare a disaster. A disaster that is so terrible that today's Democrats are warning you that we might have to go back to it. To salvage the problem, Democrats expanded subsidies to entice more people to buy plans. Many poor families wound up getting insurance for free, and the rolls grew. 24 million people now have coverage through the ACA exchanges. People earning more than 400% of the poverty line, about $129,000 for a family of four, would see their subsidies go away. Oh, gosh. Oh, those poor people who are making six figures might not get free money for the government for their health care. What a tragedy. Democrats picked this fight because they see healthcare as a winning issue. Post poll conducted in the first day of the shutdown found that 71% of Americans say federal insurance subsidies should be extended, while 29% say they should be end as scheduled. Just as significantly, the question divides Republicans. 38% support extending the subsidies and 62% want them to end. This, of course, was the massive thing that we warned about at the beginning of Obamacare, that once you start giving thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to people, they generally don't want to stop receiving it. That's how every program lasts forever. They don't become ideological issues after a period of time because people just like free money. You know, you look at Marjorie Taylor Greene's comments on this. Well, you know, she's like, well, this is what the American people want. Well, of course it's what they want. Everyone wants free stuff. The question is it the right thing to do? I would argue no. And of course, this is why the Democrats were willing to do the thing they did when they passed Obamacare. Remember, they couldn't get the votes that they needed after Scott Brown won in Massachusetts. And you had that situation with Nancy Pelosi standing in front of America saying, we don't care what we'll have to do. We have to pole vault over the wall. Whatever we have to do to get to the other side of this, you'll find out what's in it after it's signed. Don't worry about it. Because once they get this through, it's going to last forever. They knew this. And it's now expanding and expanding and expanding again to the point that we expanded it again during COVID. And the thought of going back to their giant government program is so tragic that we must extend the program even farther. It's always the way this works. This is how entitlements programs work. As the Washington Post writes, once you habituate people into some generous government handout, they grow dependent on it. And it becomes politically perilous, if not impossible, to fully claw it back. Conservatives fought so hard to stop Obamacare 15 years ago because they anticipated fights like this one. Yeah, we did. We did fight hard. And now conservatives are out there saying we need to extend this stuff. We need to keep going with it. These are the enhanced ACA subsidies you'll be hearing a lot about if we get to the policy part of this discussion at any point. Notice we're not getting the part right now about how all the people are out of work. We're hearing threats from Donald Trump about this. We're saying Donald Trump is the bad guy, but we're not getting the typical sob stories about the party out of power, keeping these people out of their jobs, because this time it's not convenient to show that. I will say, if you think about it this way, this is, if you think about, basically you have new Obamacare and Obamacare Classic. And what the left is saying right now is we have to shut the government down because we really love new Coke. We really love new Obamacare. And what the conservatives are saying is let's go back to Obamacare Classic. That's how freaking ridiculous and how far lost we are. By the way, when you ask the American people, do they want these COVID programs to still be in effect? They overwhelmingly say no. Americans want COVID-19 era policies to sunset. 60.5% of Americans agree the federal government should allow programs that were designed to deliberately address the problems created by the COVID-19 pandemic to sunset and put those funds into more pressing issues facing Americans. So there you go. 60%. This is a pretty popular issue. And for some reason, the Republicans are not talking about it like this at all. They're left to the Washington Post to make these arguments for us. Unbelievable. This is so predictable and so pathetic. At the end of the day, what we're talking about are massive, massive giveaways, hundreds of billions of dollars specifically designed to be utilized only during the COVID pandemic that now is being presented to you from everywhere in the media as this horrible takeaway by Republicans. These poor people, all they want to do is get their money from Obamacare and have health care that they can afford. And the only reason, of course, they can't afford it is because we passed a terrible plan years ago. And now our horror show on the left is to present to you a possible return to our own plan. This is the insanity of our world today. I hope you enjoy it. Well, as I say, maybe Dan Andros can bring some sanity into this conversation. He's going to join us next. My son has become one of these kids that decides he wants to get up and work out in the morning before school. I mean, obviously this has to be the mailman or something, right? It can't be my kid. Anyway, he's up there now. He wanted to get up super early. I got to bring him over to the gym in the morning now, which cuts an extra hour of sleep that I already didn't have. So I will tell you, you might notice the show a little bit nutty today because my brain isn't really working and I'm half asleep. I honestly need to get to sleep a lot earlier. And to do that, it's difficult, right? Because sometimes, you know, get to bed at those earlier hours. If you're used to staying up to 11, 12, 1 in the morning, you know, you can't get going because your internal clock is like, no, it's not time yet. You need something to help you get to sleep. And that's why I really do love the Beam Dream Powder. This stuff is, first of all, it's delicious. I really like it. It's like a cinnamon hot chocolate. It's really, really good. And it is probably founded in America. It's run by people who, you know, share your values, work, integrity, delivering results. It's a healthy nighttime blend. It's packed with science-backed ingredients that help you improve your sleep. You can wake up ready and refreshed to take on the day. Dream is coming into my life tonight because I got to make sure I get to bed at some early hour. A Dream is made with an all-powerful blend of a bunch of natural ingredients, reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin? I don't remember how to pronounce that one. I don't know. Melatonin, I've heard of that one. A bunch of stuff that you're supposed to like and that help you go to sleep. I will say I've tried it. I don't know what any of those ingredients are, but I do really like it, and it works. Here's the deal. Beam is giving listeners to this particular program the ultimate Patriot discount, up to 40% off. Try their best-selling Dream Powder and get up to 40% off for a limited time. The discount code is STEW. You can get their best-selling Dream Powder for just $39. Go to shopbeam.com/stew. Shopbeam.com/stew. Use the code STEW at checkout. Shopbeam.com/stew. Use the code STEW. Get 40% off. Dan Andros is here, managing editor, CBN News, host of CBN's Quick Start podcast. You can subscribe to that wherever you get your podcast. It's only $149.99 per month. Dan, welcome to the program.
With what? This is news to me. I didn't know that.
Well, there's a new deal. We didn't hear about it. They're giving you 100% off. It's now free.
Oh, okay, good. So, good. Yeah, just enter the promo code STEW into the air and you'll get it.
Okay, good. Congratulations. I want to talk to you because you actually had a big live stream, which was free, by the way, talking about the Israeli-Palestinian situation, everything that's going on in the Middle East. So, you know, don't leave us hanging. Did you solve it?
Yes, it's all solved. Everyone loves Israel now. I saw all of the Muslim nations around there were just like, yay, let's all sip tea together. So it's happening. Yeah. No, interestingly not. You know what was crazy, Stu? We were going back. I went through some of the timelines of just how things unfolded. And I kind of had this, and maybe this was just wishful thinking on my part, but I had this idea that there was like a week where people were like, wow, that was really bad before they started yelling at the Jews.
Yeah, I kind of remember that a little bit. No, that didn't happen.
Nope. I'm like, when did these campus protests start? You'll be shocked to learn they started on October 8th, where they were, and I don't have the list in front of me of which one was first, but you know, they sent a letter saying, stand in solidarity with, you know, Palestinians, and you know, they had the red symbol there for Hamas at some of these, like a couple days later, one day. And like, I think one of the things that statements that they said was that all the violence from here forward is all completely on Israel. Like they were saying this on October 8th. It's just like, you people.
Wait, but October 7th, that was the attack from the Palestinians, the Hamas members.
Right.
Why would it be on Israel?
Right. Well, then they made a statement saying, okay, what we're going to do here is blame Israel for everything going forward. As if like, I mean, it'd be like walking up to somebody and shooting them or punching them or whatever, and then going, anything you do back, that's your fault, buddy.
Right.
Well, this doesn't work that way.
One of the things that was most frustrating about this whole thing, we went through this on the monologue yesterday a little bit, but like, what's the worst part of all this is their plan from the beginning was to antagonize Israel and obviously do all this damage, which was somewhat of a side benefit. Their real goal was to create a conflict in which Israel would have no choice to come in there and destroy them. And while that was going on, the world would turn against Israel because eventually they just hold these hostages and it would go on and on and on and on. And the world would do what the world always does with Israel and the Jews. And that's what's happened here. And you see these countries awarding Palestinian statehood, at least, you know, in some symbolic way. This is what they were going for in the first place, and we're rewarding them for October 7th.
Yeah, and all of it's based, too, on like these genocide claims. Now, obviously, horrible things happen in war, right? But hey, here's an idea. Don't attack people. I mean, maybe you won't get attacked back. I mean, this is just a crazy idea I have. But then, you know, people are quoting the Gazan Health Ministry as if it's gospel. And time and time again, they're just proved to be lying about this stuff. And, you know, one of the barometers I always point to, Stu, is, you know, when Israel would do something wrong, like those journalists were killed in one of the attacks and it was a mistake, they like fired the generals or the officers that were in charge of that and apologized for that. Where is Hamas ever apologizing for anything? Where is Hamas going, you know what, our bad for just going in and slaughtering innocent people? And it's not just, oh, they killed some and we killed some and this and that. Look at October 7th. They were running around with demonic glee, filming it, humiliating and torturing and abusing just beyond comprehension. Not just killing people is bad enough.
Yeah.
But they were purposely trying to humiliate and desecrate these people. And they're just not even the same. It's not even close. And it's just pathetic that the world can't see that.
Yeah, or putting their dead corpses around in the back of trucks and just driving them around for display like it was, like, you know, some
and then
prize
people,
they'd won.
That was Shani Luke, by the way, Stu. And that's another one that I remember because I remember at the time there were all these viral posts going around. Oh, this is Hamas. They're trying to help her and take her to the hospital. Yeah. Meanwhile, her body is just completely bent and she's clearly dead and had been raped. You could see this on the video and people share this stuff like millions of views. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah. And by the way, we saw that same glee out in front of a building we used to work in Manhattan yesterday on the anniversary. Right out in front of the Fox News building, which is down the street from our radio building. And right in the middle of where we used to walk every single day. There was a massive protest of people cheering on and promising future attacks against Jews and infidels, right in the middle of New York City, right in the middle of Manhattan. And this is not in the Palestinian territories. We're not talking about Gaza. We're talking right in the middle of Manhattan and no reaction. In fact, seems like, if anything, they're going to reward Hamas with one of their fanboys as mayor.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. I mean, the fact that they parade this stuff around and celebrate it. I mean, there's really no other way to describe it other than it's demonic. Like, you just have to have blinders on your eyes to see. And again, like, this is not to say Israel's perfect and Israel doesn't do anything wrong. That's not the case, but there's just, like, if Mexico was doing this to us and they were just constantly shooting rockets at us and terrorists were coming over and blowing things up all the time, would we treat this at all like this? Would any sane person, you know, they run in and take thousands of hostages. Would any sane person be like, you know what? We better just kind of tone it down over here. I don't know what we're doing wrong. It's just, it defies all logical explanation to me, except it's a spiritual warfare going on. Mm.
Well, it's not just spiritual warfare, Dan. It's also just out and out stupidity. Greta Thunberg is a great example of this. She posted something about how Israel is starving Palestinians. I mean, and this is a serious thing. And you've seen these claims of famine for a long time. Everybody on the left makes them. And she posted a few pictures. She was able to find some Palestinians who were being starved, except, well, at least one of them was not a Palestinian. The one with the red arrow there, actually a hostage taken by the Palestinians, but actually an Israeli. Amazing.
I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And then she quietly deleted it later.
Of course.
I mean, just the unintentional irony there to expose just how they have to make this stuff up. Because the whole claim, by the way, that they're starving them. I mean, Israel time and time again has shown they're trying to get humanitarian aid in there. They go through extreme lengths to try to get people out of there before they're attacking, all of that stuff. And then she went on, you know, Greta went on, by the way, after this ridiculous thing, she like quietly deleted a little bit later. I think her quote was something, Stu, along the lines of like, you know, starving and this kind of torture or whatever has no borders. Well, apparently it does have a border, Greta, like these injustices you say, like they shouldn't have borders. In your mind, apparently they do. If it happened to an Israeli, then we just cut it off right there. Well, that's okay. And we're just going to leave that alone. But it's just comical if it weren't so tragic that they had to use an example of an Israeli getting starved and tortured to make her point, which completely, of course, disproved her point. But she also went on to claim, Stu, that she's being tortured. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Which is interesting. I don't understand how that works because she wasn't taken captive. She went there. She was actually disinvited. No one wanted her there. She's been there before. They've already ejected her multiple times because they don't want her there. She came again anyway and then claims that she was tortured. There's no evidence whatsoever of this actually being true, though, right?
Right. Because, we found out about it. She wouldn't say why, by the way. Number one, she said, listen, I don't want to make the story. I'm not going to say what happened to me because I don't want the story to be Greta got tortured. You can't say you got tortured by Israel, Greta, and not expect that to be the story.
I mean,
and also, you're saying this in freedom, looking completely fine. The person she posted, by the way, that is someone who was tortured before they died. They had to dig their own grave and they're in there writing and saying, gosh, I'm running out of time in here. Like that is a human being who actually got tortured. And for her to have the gall, not only to accidentally post that picture as an example of torture and starvation, she is claiming in the same time that's what's happening to her.
Right.
And she's completely free and completely looks fine. The other guy's emaciated and clearly being starved for months at a time. Obviously, because she posted it. She thought it proved her point. It's enraging. It'd be comical if it wasn't so enraging.
I will say just for the media, if someone has been, you know, they went into a place and was released immediately and is currently in a free country talking about how evil they've been, how hard they've been tortured, probably not true. Like, the torture victims are hard to get in touch with. It's hard to get in touch with the hostages that Hamas is torturing, right? Because they keep them in captivity. That's what makes them hostages. And then also, I would also point out, when you want to find famine victims in a famine, it's really easy. Right. Like, that's kind of a definitional part of a famine. Right. When we had Ethiopia going on and We Are the World and Michael Jackson and Bono were singing, we could always find people who were very, very thin and had flies around them all the time. And it was a terrible, terrible thing. It was not hard to find footage of people suffering from the famine because it was a freaking famine. If you're looking for, I need to post three famine victims and one of them just happens to be a prisoner from the country you're criticizing, I don't know, maybe your point isn't exactly right. Kosher.
Not great. And also, remember when they did this earlier, they tried to claim it that Israel's blocking all the supplies. The pictures they posted of children who were supposedly starving were ones that had other illnesses.
Right.
These were just sick kids from hospitals that had diseases. And then they posted them, which is just demeaning to them, by the way. I mean, what kind of an awful person do you have to be to use the picture of a sick kid to make your fake point about something else? I mean, that's just disgusting.
My favorite part of that is, like, they're standing there with their parents who are totally fine. It's like, are the parents not right. feeding them? Like, they right. didn't share parents their are, food? I don't understand right. how this happened.
Just low nag, give me some extra mashed potatoes here. None for you, kid. Zip it.
Last one for you. Bad Bunny was at the Blue Jays game. Well, I'm in the middle of a mental anguish right now on the Toronto Blue Jays because I'm a bit of a pessimist, but, like, I'm just, like, totally sold they're going to wind up blowing this series. They were up 2-1 or 2-0 and up 6-1 in game three and blew the game. And now I'm completely convinced they're blowing the series. But that's totally separate. Bad Bunny actually caught a foul ball while he was there. A lot of people reminded me of this because, of course, I caught one of the greatest catches in the history of the major leagues in Toronto as well. But, like, here's a guy they're putting as the Super Bowl halftime show, and he doesn't even, like, you know, mostly perform in English. I think he speaks some English, but he doesn't perform mainly in English. His songs are mainly in Spanish. What are we doing here?
This is just, read the room. I mean, people are, I think most people are sick of this. Like, I don't need to see some stripper on the halftime show. I don't need to see some non-American rapper or whatever he is that nobody's ever heard of. Has anyone heard of this guy? I'm kind of out of the pop culture, I've at least heard the names. I've never heard of Bad Bunny, and what I see everyone saying. It. Dan. And your name is Bad Bunny. Like, it's just what?
Dan. First of all, let me separate you and me a little bit on this. I have heard of Bad Bunny. I can't name any of his songs. But I had heard of him largely because he actually, and this is true, may be the most streamed artist on Spotify globally. Now, ahead of Taylor Swift, which is obviously, like, a very popular
guy. That's great that people in Saudi Arabia are streaming you. I don't
globally
care.
Globally is the key word, right? And I do think, outside of the woke interests of the NFL here, a lot of this does come down to they're trying to make this a global sport. They're trying to bring in money from outside of the country. And that almost makes it more frustrating than just the fact that he's anti-ICE or whatever. Like, they're right. just, they're so money hungry that they're just like, oh, just give us all. Play to your audience, which happens to be largely people in the United States, please, a little.
Right, and I would just say on the podcast today, on the Quick Start podcast, we mentioned this, but Forrest Frank, and there was another Christian artist, and I'm forgetting which one it was, but they did a video, and they basically came up with the idea that they want to create an alternate halftime show and get a stadium and do this, and I am here for that. I will take Forrest Frank, other Christian artists, like people that aren't going to do a strip tease on the halftime show or have wardrobe malfunctions or rap about bad bunnies and whatever else this guy talks about. I mean, I just don't need it. I don't need it. I want to watch the game and not be assaulted. Okay. Is this too much to ask?
Dad, I don't think his songs are about bad bunnies.
His name is Bad Bunny and he should just be deleted because of this. Every time I say it, it gets worse. You know what I'm going to call myself? Bad Bunny. Like, this is just...
My favorite thing is, like, you should go on a Spotify playlist, his number one hit is a song about misbehaving rabbits. Like, that's actually what you believe. Is that?
Well, someone needs to create his AI rival, which is Good Bunny.
Ah.
And it's just like an AI rival that just, you know, is better than...
They can come perform at the Forrest Frank Show.
Yes.
So there you go. All right, Dan Andrews, managing editor, CBN News, source of all music information with CBN's Quick Start.
I'm here for everybody, for the people.
For the people. Head over and subscribe to the podcast today. Dan, thank you so much for coming on, and I hope you'll give us a review of Bad Bunny next time you come on the program.
Yes, I will do it, even though I won't watch.
A lot of Trump supporters on Twitter will tweet things like, you know, this is what I voted for, and this is the best of my lifetime. And, like, you know, it just it is an indication things are going well, right? Like, it's not necessarily a literal, it's, you know, as Selena Zito would say, it's not to be taken seriously, but not literally. And that's usually the case. You're kind of just saying, hey, this is really, really positive. However, let me give you something that actually is literally the best in my lifetime. U.S. illegal immigration border crossings fall to a 55-year low. They have dropped massively. In fact, they are as low as they have been since 1970. I was born in 1976. 1970 was the last time these rates were this low. And of course, there's population growth and all these other things as well. So a massive, massive change. And while we're kind of on the topic of things that are in free fall, border crossings, let's also talk about Jimmy Kimmel and his ratings. Jimmy Kimmel is now nearing pre-suspension viewership. He's shedding 85% of key viewers since his hyped comeback show. This was never a surprise, right? This has always been expected. I don't even think, honestly, Jimmy Kimmel thought he was going to keep the audience that he got, or even close to half of the audience, but 85% down is pretty bad. He's almost all the way back to his catastrophic pre-scandal or pre-controversy ratings, down to, 1.7 million that tuned in on September 23rd for his big show. 85% of them already gone, and more shedding by the day. So congratulations to Jimmy Kimmel, who, you know, sometimes it's good to just be back in your comfort zone. You know, like you go to a diner, you get some comfort food. Low-rated shows are Jimmy Kimmel's comfort food. So congratulations for being comfortable. Buying or selling a home is a big deal, maybe the biggest deal you'll ever make, financially at least. And it's not something that you want to do alone, right? You want to have someone who knows the market inside and out, who understands your neighborhood, who really gets you on a personal level, knows what you want, what matters most to you and your family. That's why I always recommend realestateagentsitrust.com. These are the agents that Glenn and his team vet personally, and they vet them for honesty and integrity and real performance. They don't just put your home on a list and hope for the best. They don't put a couple balloons out in front. That's not it. They have more stuff to do. They have a proven track record of getting results. They negotiate really intelligently. And they guide you through the process every step of the way. They give you clarity. They give you confidence. Whether you're trying to sell fast or buy in a new state or relocate for work, or maybe just finally find the home you've been dreaming about for years and years and years, these are professionals who get it. They get it done. They make the entire experience less stressful. So check them out, realestateagentsitrust.com. You'll connect with someone who's earned the right to be part of this network. It's not easy to do. They go through a lot of vetting. It's not easy. I wish it was as hard to, you know, get into the United States as it is to get into realestateagentsitrust.com for illegal immigrants, but that's not the case, unfortunately. Realestateagentsitrust.com. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. Join the mission here at Blaze TV. We would love to have you on board. Go to StuDoesAmerica.com. It's StuDoesAmerica.com. This gets you access to the entire network. Subscribe, use the code Stu, save, I think, $20 right now. StuDoesAmerica.com.